This man has done nothing wrong. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. In the time of the Roman Empire, when a person was crucified, and almost invariably it was a male, the charge of what they had done was posted above their heads, whether they were a criminal or an insurgent, whether they had stolen something substantial, whether they were a runaway slave. The charge that is leveled against Jesus is that he was the King of the Jews. Pilate, of course, put this as a way of mocking him. But it was part of the accusation that the crowd brought against Jesus. This man was leading the people astray, causing them to revolt, telling them not to pay their taxes, not to pay tributes to Caesar, and claiming to be the Christ, a king. Of course, each of those three claims that the crowd makes are all false. Jesus wasn't leading the crowd astray. He was healing. He was freeing. He was forgiving sins. He was offering new hope. And when the question arose as to whether taxes had to be paid to Caesar, of course, he said that we had to render unto Caesar what belonged to Caesar. When people would claim him as the Christ, when they would say, "Are you the Messiah?" he was either silent, or if they gave him that title, he asked them to be quiet, because he knew they would get it wrong. He knew that they would be confused. In this most holy day, as we enter into this holy week, the liturgy is somewhat confusing. It begins on a note of triumph. It begins with all those hosannas and cries of exclamation, cries of worship of the Lord. We join the crowd as they welcome the Messiah, like David when he came into Jerusalem and he danced before the Ark of the Covenant. We also join in that sense of jubilation and triumph as we welcome Christ to come among us, to walk in our midst. We join the crowd as they shout out their hosannas. We join the crowd because we know, as Jesus said, that if we are silent, then the rocks themselves will cry out in worship of God. And so quickly, so shockingly, suddenly, the liturgy twists, and we're there with the suffering servant. We're there with that great hymn of Paul, extolling the virtues of the Son of God, who did not cling to his equality with God, but emptied himself. And then we're there in the garden, and we're there at the trial. We're there as we witness some of the worst acts of humanity, opposing the man who had done nothing wrong, as the criminal acknowledged. They had sinned. They deserved the punishment that they were getting, but not Jesus. He had done nothing wrong. And in a sense, it was the most appropriate place for Jesus to die, there between these two criminals, because as you live, so shall you die. He had spent his whole public ministry, the whole of his adult life, in the company of the undesirables, in the company of people that we wouldn't want to keep company with, tax collectors and sinners, prostitutes and people who had organized revolt against the Lord. Good God, he even kept company of lawyers. Sorry, Grant. And in the midst of this, he shows the way that he would die. He showed the way of the kingdom of God. He showed us the heart of God. That it didn't matter what we had done, he gave his life for each of us. Sometimes we like to imagine that sinners are someone else. Sinners are those people who have committed murder. Sinners are the adulterers. Sinners are the thieves. Sinners are the people who didn't turn their lights off last night during Earth Hour. Or maybe sinners are the people who did turn their lights off during Earth Hour. Maybe sinners are the pedophiles. Or sinners are the bishops who covered up all of this. Maybe sinners are people who continue to entrap young children in prostitution. Maybe it's the heads of multinationals who like to enslave people, who like to pay people much less than they're worth. Maybe it's the terrorists. Maybe it's the dictators, the heads of foreign governments who enslave children in the army. Or maybe it's people like me. Maybe it's people who are just full of pride, full of arrogance, who like telling stories, who like gossiping, who like to be one up on someone else. Whatever the sin of the others, Jesus died for me. Jesus took this into his own flesh. Jesus accepted all of that punishment, all of that pain, all of that cruelty, so that we might know hope, so that we might know freedom and forgiveness. This week we're given a chance to spend time once again before the cross. And I invite you during your prayer this week to hold a crucifix. Take it into your hand. Look upon the figure of Christ on the cross. Allow his love to be real for you. Allow the truth of what he did to be true. Let that death on the cross not be in vain. Let that death be for my salvation, for your freedom, for your gift of life. We're invited to come and reflect upon the very mystery of God's self and to receive that gift deep into our lives, into our hearts, this week, as we move into this most holy week.